Take your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter number 10. I talked for too long, so that means I'll have to make my message short. Romans chapter number 10. I got the rundown on what kind of a preacher you like to hear from the professionals at lunch this afternoon. I asked the pastor's grandkids, the three younger ones, Samuel and Reagan and Cassandra, I believe. And so they all told me one attribute of a pastor that they liked. Cassandra said that, I asked her, I said, so how do your dads preach and how does your grandpa preach? She said, well, my dad's kind of in the middle. And I was like, what does that mean? And she goes, well, he's really loud sometimes and he's really quiet sometimes. So I would say he's kind of in the middle. And I was like, okay. And then Reagan said, my dad is funny. She's like, that's how he preaches. So you need to preach funny. And then Samuel said, and my papa is loud. And they all nodded in agreement. So they told me I had to be loud and funny and in the middle, I guess, all right? So I'm not funny. I try to be. It just doesn't ever work out for me. The only times I'm funny is usually at my own expense, like when I fall off a platform or something like that. And I hope I did that at a church in January. I just fell completely off the platform, completely unplanned. And it was not part of the message. And I did not recover from it. So I hope I don't do that tonight. Romans chapter 10, if you're there, if you're able to, if you'd stand out of the respect of the reading of God's word. I'm going to go to a very familiar passage and preach on a very familiar topic. But I think it's something that the Lord laid on my heart, and I think it's something that we all need to be reminded of. Romans chapter 10, and look at verse number 9, it says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Tonight I'm going to preach just for a few minutes on the symptoms of salvation. The symptoms of salvation. Let's pray. Father, I love you. I thank you so much for this day. I thank you for allowing me to be in this church. Father, I don't take it lightly that another man would ask me to be behind his pulpit. I pray that you'd help me to be clear, concise. I pray that you would eliminate any distractions. And Holy Spirit, meet with us, move in hearts. In your precious name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We've heard a lot about the symptoms this past year, haven't we? Almost to the point where you say the word symptoms and I'm like, all right, let's change the subject. Let's talk about something else. But a symptom is that which indicates the existence of something else. And so if you have the symptoms of something, then that indicates that there is something deeper that needs looked into. And folks, in our Bibles, sadly, the majority of people that would call themselves Christians, I believe that they have salvation like they have COVID. They're asymptomatic. If they are saved, you cannot tell it. And folks, I believe that according to this Bible that I read and try to live by, that if you are saved, you are a child of God, then you should have some symptoms that you have something that's real. And I believe that it should go more than just a, well, I'm saved, well, I know I'm saved, okay? Well, I believe that there should be some indicators that you have something that's real. So we're just going to look at a few of those tonight. We ought not ever get over our salvation. I am so thankful. I am so thankful that my mom and dad took me to church over and over and over and over again. And as a young man in growing up in church, I am thankful that they kept taking me and kept taking me until the day that I got saved. And then all of a sudden it became enjoyable to me. Because friend, church without salvation is boring. What's the point? It makes you feel good for a little while. It clears your conscience. It helps you, feel good about all the things that you've done. That's what a church is for an unsaved person. But folks, for a saved person, this is the living organism that made up of saved, baptized believers that Jesus Christ died for, and it's alive, and it's exciting, and it's a wonderful thing to walk into a church and be able to worship the one who is Jesus. And so, folks, I believe that we should never get over being saved. But if you are saved, shouldn't you have some symptoms? Now, we understand biblical salvation. I believe the majority of us do. If you are here tonight and you don't know what I mean by that, let me just clarify real quick. Biblical salvation is, number one, realizing that you're a sinner and realizing that the wages of your sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not Jesus anything else. It's not Jesus minus anything. It's just what he did on the cross and you realizing that you are unworthy and accepting that payment for your sins. That's Bible salvation. And friend, if it's anything else, it's not salvation. If you have to add something to it, it's not salvation. If you have to subtract something and say, well, you have to do this, you have to do this. No, if it's earned, it's not a gift. If it's not free, it's not salvation. And folks, that's what biblical salvation is. If you're here and you've never been saved, let me just say, this would be a great place and a great night to get that settled. But if you are saved and you do know that you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, what do you have to show for it? I'm going to identify just four quick things that I believe are symptoms of salvation. The first one is found in our text in Romans chapter number 11. It says, Romans chapter 10 verse number 11, it says, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. What's one symptom of salvation? Not being ashamed. Hey friend, listen, if you're saved, if Jesus Christ died on the cross and bought you with a price and you have accepted his free gift of salvation, then why are you ashamed of it? And it's easy to say amen when you're in church. It's a lot harder when we're in our workplace, isn't it? I've worked a lot of secular jobs. I know it gets pretty hard. I worked for Coca-Cola for several years in a distribution center. I've worked in warehouses since I was 19. I've had a lot of, and you know what? Warehouse people, the majority of them are a rough group of individuals. And you know what? I've met all kinds of people, atheists, agnostics, Norse, pagans, all kinds of unique beliefs. And folks, I know it is hard. It's hard when they're mocking God. But folks, listen, God didn't call us to be ashamed. And the salvation that I have should be real. And I should never be ashamed, listen, to be a Christian. I love the song. I heard it a few years ago. I don't know all of the origin of it, but I heard a college tour group singing it a few years ago. I choose to be a Christian. I will follow Christ, carry the cross that leads to life. And you know what? Listen, if you're saved, friend, you are a Christian, so why not just choose to live like one and to not be ashamed of who you are and to not be ashamed of Jesus? It ought to be a badge of honor that you wear. Hey, come on now, Ohio State Buckeyes fans. We're not ashamed to be Buckeyes fans, okay? In Indiana, you know what that is? We're proud of what we are. I know, I didn't get any amens on that, all right? Interesting story. I was telling Pastor, my dad is actually, well, growing up was really good friends with Tom Allen, who's now the coach of the Hoosiers, and that's another story, but that was unique. And so I love Indiana, okay, all right? If I had to cheer for another team, I probably would cheer for the Hoosiers, okay? All right, definitely if they are playing Michigan, all right? I'll cheer for, you know, anybody who's playing against Michigan and the New England Patriots, okay? All right, amen? Colts fans, all right? There we go. Now we get some amens. But listen, I don't want to be ashamed of who I am. I was opening your bulletin this morning. I like what it says. If you believe what the Bible teaches, then go to a church that teaches the Bible. Why would you be ashamed of that? That's why you became a Christian, so why not just follow it? The second thing I see is, number one, not being ashamed. Number two, having peace with God. Having peace with God. Romans chapter 5, verse number 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 7 says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Hey, Christian, how can you have peace in a world of chaos? Because the peace of God passes all understanding. The world doesn't understand. They don't understand. Listen, they don't understand. All right, I've talked to a lot of people in the hospital. And honestly, a lot of them are facing worse situations than I am, and I don't know what all they've been through. But the reason I can walk in there and look at my little girl lying on a bed and have peace with God is because it passes my understanding. And folks, listen, there's a lot of hurting people. There's hurting people in this church. You're hurting tonight. Peace with God that comes from salvation, it transcends everything else, doesn't it? It gives you a hope, an anchor that's steadfast and that's sure. Listen, peace with God. Christian, you know what you say? Brother Young, I am saved and I don't have peace. Isaiah 26, verse number 3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Hey, Christian, if you know you're saved and you have no peace, maybe it's because you need to just go find your prayer closet and say, God, I've been away from having my mind stayed on thee. We sing it, stayed upon Jehovah. But it's sometimes hard to live it, isn't it? Sometimes it is easier to pursue money. Sometimes it is easier to live for ourselves. But folks, listen, peace with God is something that every Christian should have. And he promises that if you'll keep your mind stayed on him. The third thing I see, and there are many, and we couldn't even begin to list them all tonight. The third thing I see about a symptom of salvation, what's another thing that identifies that you have something that's real? The third thing is you're a witness. Number one, you're not ashamed. Number two, you have peace with God. Number three, be a witness. I think of John chapter 4. If we were to go there, we won't for sake of time. I think of John chapter 4. Jesus told his disciples, I must needs go through Samaria. And the reason being was because there was a woman that no one else cared about, that had been chewed up, that had been spit out, that had been thrown out by the world. She had had five husbands. The man she was living with wasn't her own. And Jesus didn't go and throw that all in her face. Jesus went and he met her at the well, and she said, why are you talking to me? And he said, because that water that's in the well, you're going to be thirsty again if you drink that. But I have a water that you'll never thirst again. And that day she met the Savior. And then what's even more exciting about that, while the disciples were going out trying to buy food, here's this woman who had lived a life of sin. She's just met the Master. She's just been forgiven. And she goes out unto all the city and she says, come see a man that told me all the things I ever did. You know why I know she got something that's real? Because she wasn't ashamed to tell everyone about it. She didn't care. Well, listen, before she met Jesus, she cared a lot what people thought about her. That's why she was at the well in the middle of the day. She didn't have to meet a lot of people. She didn't want to run into the other women in the town. But after Jesus changed her heart, she didn't care. She said, hey, come see a man. And guess what? He told me all the things that I've ever done. You know what she found? She found something that was real. The maniac of Gadara in Luke chapter 8, verse number 39, when he got saved, the Bible says, and he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. C.T. Sudd, the famous preacher, said, someone to live within the sound of church or chapel bell, I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell. Folks, listen, I'm glad to be in church. I love church. And there are people that get saved in church. I got saved in church. So I'm glad for that. But the majority of people that need to be saved are outside of these walls. They say four walls, but I'm not sure in an auditorium like this. Yeah. But you know what, folks? That's just the truth. It's called the Great Congregation in our Bibles. Folks, listen, the majority of the unsaved people are right outside of our door. And listen, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, it'd be a wonderful night to get saved. But folks, the church is a saved, baptized, called out body of believers. And you know what you're doing? You're meeting so that you can get encouragement and edification to go out there and bring them in. And I don't care if that's in Indiana or in Africa. My sister and her husband just left for South Sudan 2 weeks ago. I drove down there to see them off. And they're going to give their... But you know what? The gospel that they're preaching there is still the same gospel that's working here. And you know what, folks? Listen, we need to be a witness. If your Christianity is worth having, then it is worth sharing. Maybe the reason we don't share Jesus is because we don't really have a high opinion of who he is. Teenager, young college, listen, teenagers, I know it's hard, okay? If you go to public school, it is hard. It is. It's difficult. Hey, college students that are in secular universities, I know it's difficult. Just drive through downtown Indy and see the banners that IUPUI has up all over their crosswalks. I've seen them a lot because I've been to Riley a bunch. But you know what? Listen, I know it's hard. But hey, listen, if you're saved, then you ought to be telling someone about Jesus. Last thing, and we'll be done. Symptoms of salvation. Number one, not being ashamed. Number two, having peace with God. Number three, being a witness. And number four, live by John 3:30, or we could say it, humility. And John 3:30 is this: he must increase, but I must decrease. You know what, folks, listen. You say, Brother Young, I feel unworthy to be saved. That's because you are. That's because I am. I'm nobody. I'm nothing. If you knew everything about me, everything that I've ever thought, everything that I've ever done, you wouldn't have much respect for who I am as a person. And probably the same thing is said about every one of you. But I'm glad for the day that everything that I've ever done, the precious blood of Jesus Christ covered that. And he made me a new creature. Take your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, and we'll be done. We're really ending because my water's almost gone. Romans chapter 6, and I already drank one before church too. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Folks, victory over the old life is only found by walking in the new one. And that's exactly what John was saying. And that's it was a statement of humility. But when John said, he must increase, but I must decrease, may that be said by all of us that our desire is to walk in newness of life and say, Jesus, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. Folks, that's a testimony that you're saved. That's a symptom. And you know what? When I see someone that's like that, that's not ashamed of who they are, that has peace with God through anything, that is a witness, and that just has true humility and just says, God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. I know that's someone, or maybe, probably, the symptoms are indicating they might be saved. I'll tell you one story and we'll be done. When I was in Lima, Ohio, I had a younger man in his mid-30s, he had just gotten back into church. His life was a wreck. He had gotten in and out of church, in and out of church, in and out of church. And so he finally got back in. He got excited, and he was wanting to do, he got right with God. He had been saved years ago. He had lost his family, lost his marriage, just gone through some horrible, horrific circumstances. He evidenced that he lived his life in sin. And he came to the pastor, and he said, Pastor, I want to do something for the church. And so my pastor said, okay, let me think about it. And so he went and found his newly hired assistant pastor, and he said, he's yours. And I said, okay. And so I called him one day, and I said, hey, what are you doing? And I'll call him Steve. His name wasn't Steve, okay? And I said, hey, Steve, what are you doing? I just have to give him a name, or I can't just talk about him. I said, hey, Steve, what are you doing? He said, I'm not doing anything right now. I said, hey, I'm gonna go meet a 12-year-old young man who he's in trouble with the law, and if his dad wants us to meet with him, or he's gonna have to go to the juvenile detention center. Do you want to come with me? And he said, yeah, that'd be great. So we got in our car. We went into the house. The house was it was in the middle of Lima, Ohio. Okay, if you've ever been to Lima, Ohio, it was in a rough area of town. We went in. He gets all excited. He goes over. He sits down on the couch. And I didn't sit down on the couch. I just was, because I was talking to his dad. And a few minutes later, he stands back up, and he kind of looks at me weird. And I was like, okay, well, what's going on? And so, anyway, make a long story short, I started witnessing to this 12-year-old young man. And right there in his living room, he bowed his head, and he trusted Jesus as his Savior. And when we got back in the car, well, the first question I asked him, I said, why'd you get up off the couch so quick? He goes, when I sat, he goes, the roaches just went like that. And he's like, so I had to get up. And I said, and then he looked at me, and he got a big smile on his face, and he said, what do you call that? And I said, what do you call what? He goes, when you tell someone about Jesus, what do you call that? And I said, well, it's called soul winning. And he's like, man, I gotta do this more often. He became my soul winning partner. But you know what he was? He was someone who was gotten saved, getting right with God. And I just love that enthusiasm. He just saw someone get saved for the first time, and he said, man, I gotta do that. Hey, Christian, who are you, and who do you live for? Let's pray. Lord, I love you. I thank you for this day. Father, what a simple truth. God, I'm so thankful for the day that I got saved. Father, I pray that if there's someone under the sound of my voice that has never trusted you as Savior, that they would get saved. What a wonderful, matchless, amazing thing that it is. Thank you so much for this church. Thank you for what it means to their community. I pray that hearts were helped. God, I pray that you'd be with the invitation now to follow. In your precious name, amen.